1989. Last century.
Yeah. 100 years.
Literally. Yeah.
You're that old, Iris. Eh?
No.
And then our very first healing room that we began was in the wee shop in Dumbarton Road nearly 11 years ago. Now it'll be 11 years this Easter. So you're the longest running healing room.
Amen.
Me. Almost in the world, but not quite. In Scotland,
quite,
anyway.
Not quite.
And, but obviously things change and people move on and new folk come. So quite a few of you I don't think I know at all. Others of you, like Ian and Grace and a few others known for a long, long time. What I think we want to do in this little time that we've got, I want to just throw out just a few things. I'm not going to develop any of them unless you want to kind of jump in and say, let's talk about that a wee bit more. So we can be interactive. Feel free to interrupt me and ask something if you want, or just say, let's just talk about it a little bit more. But otherwise, I'll just kind of move through, just throwing out a number of thoughts. Just a couple of things I was praying a day or two ago for you. I saw a picture of a jigsaw with many, many pieces in place, and the picture was not quite fully formed, but it was really forming. I also felt the Holy Spirit said to strengthen those who have put their hand to the plough. And you know, Jesus talks about you put your hand to the plough, you don't turn back, or you're not fit for service in the kingdom of God. And you know, particularly those who I've known for years, I know you've put your hand to the plough in this place for a long time. And sometimes the hand can get a bit weary. And I think the Lord just wants to really strengthen that hand, because you've still got to plough a bit, you've still got to dig up a bit. Sometimes we think, well, how long have we got to keep digging up for? You know, when's the real breakthrough fruit coming? But there's a lot of ploughing needing done. A lot of ploughing needing done. And there's a lot of seed being sown, but there are shoots. There are first fruits.
Amen.
There are signs that must give us definite hope.
Yeah.
We really need a definite hope in the Lord.
Yeah.
It's not a wishful thinking. It's not a maybe, but it's a definite hope. And Alan asked me just to share a wee bit in hell, and I'll just share whatever the Lord gives her in a little bit, about just opening up wells, opening up spiritual wells, opening up wells, particularly for healing and the miraculous. And just think a wee bit about the why of that and the how of that in a few moments. But if you've got a Bible, we'll jump through about three or four different passages and verses fairly quickly. And because the great well passage is Genesis 26. And in Genesis 26, we have Isaac. It's a really interesting passage. It's worth, you know, really spending some time in, because it's a time of famine. And yet in a time of famine, Isaac sows and reaps a hundredfold.
Amen.
What he sowed. Yep. And there's a really something important in that, that no matter what can seem around us, where there can seem barrenness around us, you can still sow in the Spirit and reap a hundredfold. And Isaac and his servants begin to dig up some wells. And the first two that they dig, the kind of local shepherds in that area come and say, oh, no, that's ours. And they're disputed over and quarreled over, and he gives them those names. But the really important thing is that he just moves on. And we really mustn't waste our time in dispute and quarrel.
Amen.
It really grieves the Spirit. It really grieves our spirit. And it really gets us nowhere. There's the places that we need to contend for. But when other people come and say, oh no, that's ours, then let them have it. Let them have it. There's something about just giving away that means you'll always increase.
That's right. Yeah.
The dynamic of the kingdom of God is a dynamic of increase. The kingdom of God is always increasing. And God is looking for those who've got open hands, who are prepared to just keep giving away so they can keep increasing them.
Amen.
Yep. That's good. And Isaac then, and his guys, they dig this other well, and it's verse 22. And no one quarrels over it. Finally, he's got peace. So he calls it a Rehoboth, which means room. And he says, now we've been given space in which to flourish. It says in my translation, fruitful, but the word means to flourish, to prosper, to expand. And I believe that God in the Spirit has brought us into a place now where we can begin to flourish in the things of the Spirit. And what we haven't seen is what the next well brings yet, and that's where God wants to take us. because Aloy's in a place of flourishing, a place of prospering, and a lot of folk would stay there. It simply says in the next verse 23, then he went up from there to Beersheba. Why did he leave a place where he's flourishing, where it's going well? Because there's something in the heart of those who God has called that's never satisfied until we go on to the next in God.
Amen.
There's always a what's next question. As Isaac moves on from a really good place into the next, you know, in the last year, Helen and I have just given up every ministry, so we don't have a ministry anymore, which I'm not at all insecure about. I think it's great. It's a really nice place to be. And it was just great to hand over healing rooms, and then we just brought our church to completion and sent everybody out to be a blessing elsewhere. And
yeah,
our hands are empty, and our time is God's time. And there's a time just to move on from a place that's even a good place. So Isaac goes up there, and it's here. It says, verse 24, and the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear. When God shows up, he always wants to remove fear.
Amen.
And you know, the fear is at the root of every human life. It's at the root of every wrong condition in our life, because the first response of sin was that mankind feared.
Yeah.
When they sinned in the garden, they hid from the Lord because they were afraid. So fear comes in at the very root, the very foundation, the very fundamental thing of the broken human condition. And God is always wanting just to remove fear. If you can get fear right out of our lives, there's no stopping us.
Amen.
And you know, it's perfect love that drives out fear. But the Lord speaks this, do not fear. There's a removal of fear and a revelation of what he wants to do. And there's a threefold revelation here. For one, he says, for I am with you. That's just the most important thing. Like when Moses says to the Lord in Exodus 33, I'm not going up from here unless you go with us. Your angel going ahead of me, that's not good enough. I need you. I need you with us. And to know God is with you, that's just it, isn't it? If you know God's with you, no matter what you're going through, no matter how difficult it is, if you know God is with you, it's okay.
Amen.
So the Lord makes that promise to Isaac. He says, I am with you. Secondly, I will bless you. It's in the heart of God to bless.
Yeah.
He wants to bless you. And then he says, and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake. God desires to multiply. The very first command in Scripture is to go forth and multiply.
Amen.
And it's in the heart of God to multiply us. It's in the heart of God to see hundreds of folk come to Jesus here in White Inch.
Yeah. Amen.
Why not?
Yeah.
And Isaac has a fourfold response in the next verse 25. So he's built an altar there. The altar is symbolic of sacrifice and worship. So the first thing to do when God speaks to us, when God comes, when God reveal something into our life, is to respond in an act of sacrificial worship. Second thing is, it says he calls on the name of the Lord. In a sense, he prays, but notice he prays by calling on the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
Something really important about knowing the name of the Lord and who God is to you.
Amen.
Possibly just revisit that in a moment. The third thing, they pitch a tent there. And the thing about a tent is you can move it. White Inch Church moves around a wee bit, doesn't it? And because the church is you guys, it's the people. In terms of where you've pitched your tent, because I remember being in the little shops along Dumbarton Road where we opened our first healing room, then moved to the next one, then you moved into the centre in Inchley Street, and now you're here. And this is a wee bit nicer, actually. It's warmer, definitely warmer. But there's something about just being flexible and being movable. And the tent brings shelter to people, and you know, people need brought under a shelter, but we need to be flexible about how we do it. And the fourth thing is they dig a well of salvation. And as we're opening and closing, you know, the Lord's really been speaking to me recently, just one verse in Isaiah 22 verse 22. One of these things when I keep seeing 22 everywhere, and that went on for ages, and this verse is a really key verse for us, I think. The verse that is applied to the risen Jesus in Revelation 3, verse 7. It says, the key of the house of David I will lay on his shoulder. And the key speaks of what? It speaks of authority. the key of the house of David, the key, the authority, I will lay on his shoulder, he will give to you. So he shall open and no one shall shut, and he shall shut and no one shall open. And I believe God is saying today is a time for us to understand the authority that he has given to us, the key that he has laid upon our shoulder, to really understand, you know, the incredible, just how incredible that God has given, delegated such authority to us, that we can open things and they will be open. We can close things and they will be closed.
Amen.
We can speak to things and they will be removed. So, just want to think about the way we pray.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but if the way you pray isn't changing and developing, it needs to.
Yeah.
And I probably would barely recognize the way I prayed 20 years ago to the way I pray today. I'm not saying it's better, but I think the Holy Spirit's led me somewhere. I think he teaches us things. If you've got an open heart to receive understanding. And I just want to share, just throw out a few quick things. I think in prayer, I find myself, I ask less and I believe more.
Amen. Yeah.
You know, I think we can start off with a whole list of askings. And we maybe see one or two answers. Now, if you get one or two answers, it's good. Because you deserve nothing. It's all his mercy and grace. But one of the real problems for a lot of Christian folks is unanswered prayer.
Yeah.
But I think we see unanswered prayer because we're asking for too many things before we're believing for those things.
Amen. Yeah.
When Jesus talked about prayer and the need to continue in prayer in Luke 18, he says, but when the Son of Man comes, will he find, he didn't say, will he find prayer on the earth? Will I find people praying? He says, well, I find faith on the earth.
Yeah.
And so it's really important that we believe for what we ask for. And if you don't believe, don't yet ask.
Amen.
Wait till you can stand in a place of faith for it and then ask for it. In one of his books, Brennan Manning, he may or may not know, says this, in prayer we discover what we already have. I found that to be true, that when you take time in God's presence, when you just talk to him and listen to him, you actually discover you've got a lot more than you've realized. He's already given you so much. And a lot of the answer that we're looking for actually lies within us. It's very true with healing. You know, a lot of folk call on God to heal the sick. God says, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to give you a job and then take it back off you and do it for you. God gave us the job, the authority to heal the sick.
Amen.
Jesus never told his disciples to go and ask the Father to heal the sick. He said, you go heal the sick.
Yeah.
Our problem is it doesn't always work. But we can think about that. I found that it's important to declare the inheritance that we have rather than keep pleading for God's intervention into our lives. We already have so much in him. For 15 years now, Helen and I have basically lived without salary or without a job, without an income. And we found that God has just wonderfully supplied everything that we need. And we've just bought a house that we're going to move into later this month, which we'll own outright. That's good, isn't it? So we get kind of everything we need. Don't tend to get anything over above it much, but we get everything we need. And the kind of journey God's kind of led me on is one is that it's not about money. It's never about money. It's always about him. And he is the Lord, our provider. And God doesn't so much want to give us things, but give us himself. He wants us to know who he is and who he is in relationship to us. That he's our covenant God, and part of his covenant to us is that he will provide for us.
Yeah.
So he wants us to know, before we just know a bit of provision here and there, he wants us to know him as provider. When we know him as provider, provision ceases to become an issue because you're living in relationship to the ultimate provider.
Yeah, amen.
And so we don't have to keep asking him for things. Oh, Lord, we've got another bill in. We need £200. Lord, give me £200, please, please, please. I don't tend to say please in my prayers. So instead of praying that, I just declare something because he's given me the authority to do that. So I just speak to money. It sounds a little bit funny to some folk, but I speak to money and I command it to come to me.
Amen.
I find it works. Because God's given me a right to do that. He's my provider. He's in control of these things. So I can speak to these things. I can declare my inheritance as a child of God is to have his provision.
Amen.
And it comes. And you can apply that into lots of different areas in life. Declare the inheritance. You have to understand who you are, what you have in him, and declare it.
Yeah.
Declare the inheritance. It's really important that we pray out of that covenant relationship with him, not out of a place of need. We live in dependence, but not in need. Okay, so there's a difference there. We live in dependence on God, but we live in dependence on the one who's met our every need, so we do not live in need. Again, one of his covenant revelation names is the Lord is my shepherd. The consequence of that is I shall not want.
Amen.
I have everything I need. If we come as a needy person, we fail to see who he is to us. If we come as somebody who knows he's met our every need, we still come in a total dependence on him, but we pray out of a totally different way.
Yeah.
And so we begin to pray in faith and not in fear. I think there's a lot of unanswered prayer around God's church because a lot of people are praying out of fear, not faith.
Amen.
He wants to shift something. We need to pray in the Holy Spirit and not just in the flesh. You know, so often we hear of a situation, we immediately want to pray something for that situation, but we always got to stop and ask him, what do you want to do here, Father? What's your word into this? What do you want me to ask for? What do you want me to declare? What do you want me to do? Always asking and praying in the Spirit. And it says in Jude, I think it's verse 24, to build yourselves up in your most holy faith as you pray in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
As we pray in the Spirit, we are built up. And it was in 1985 that I get released into the gift of tongues. I found it the most awesome gift. And I found a lot of Christians who are baptized in the Spirit, receive the gift of tongues, don't nearly use it enough.
Yeah.
And again, I find as my prayer life changes, I'm increasingly praying in tongues because I'm increasingly recognizing I don't know how or what to pray in lots of situations.
Yeah.
So, come on, Holy Spirit, let's just do it your way. And praying in tongues is just really, really powerful. If you've not got a real release in praying in tongues, we'd love just to pray for you for that today. But if you have that, then use it for goodness sake. Let it develop in you. It's a developing gift.
Yeah.
Sing in tongues. It's beautiful. Let your spirit grow and soar. And you know, you find then the Holy Spirit just releases revelation to you that you know what to pray and how to pray. So I said, first of all, there we ask less but believe more, but we do still ask. And Jesus taught that in Luke chapter 11. You might want to just turn there if you got your Bible. Luke 11. Jesus talks about prayer, and he talks about the parable of the guy who a friend comes late at night. He's got no food, so he goes and bangs on the neighbor's door to get some bread. And the neighbor's in bed and won't get up, but eventually does because of the man's importunity or his boldness or shamelessness just to ask. So Jesus is saying there's something about asking. And he says, ask, keep on asking, the verb means, and it will be given to you. Knock, the door will be opened, seek, and you will find. And he talks about eggs and fish and snakes and stuff like that. But what are we asking for? What are we to press in for? Somebody read verse 13 of Luke 11, Luke 11, 13. What are we to press in for? What's Jesus saying that God will answer?
If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
So what we're asking for is the Holy Spirit. How much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Two very, very, very short prayers that I've heard great men of God who've been greatly used to him and influenced my life greatly make. One was back in the 1980s, a man called John Wimber. Some of you are old enough to remember Wimber, others you maybe not. And he used to pray this prayer. It became very controversial because he would just say, come Holy Spirit. And some folks say, how can you pray come Holy Spirit because he's already here, and you know, folk would get all tied up in nonsense. But that man would just pray come Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit would move. And I've been in places where he prayed come Holy Spirit, and I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit came.
Amen.
And people all over the place started getting healed and all sorts of things started happening. I went to Brighton and sat in a conference under him, and he prayed that, and he's taught, and I came back a totally different person. So there's something in praying, come Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit's here, but there's always more.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit by nature is eternal, both in terms of time and in quantity. There is no limit to the Holy Spirit. So you can be filled with the Holy Spirit, but there's still more.
Yeah. Amen.
Because sometimes you leak a bit. And God also wants to increase the capacity of your life. You see, our spirit life is like maybe really small like that. And it's filled, we can get filled with the Holy Spirit. But is that what God wants you to remain? No, he wants to increase your spirit capacity to that and then fill it. And then to that and fill it.
Amen.
And then to that. And there's no limit. There's no limit. So some of you are sitting here today and you're thinking, you know, I'm just me and whatnot. God wants some of you to be absolute spiritual giants.
Amen. Yeah.
So he needs to increase your spirit being so that the filling of the Holy Spirit can keep increasing, keep increasing, keep increasing in your life. How much more will the Father give his Spirit to those who ask him? And that was the other prayer that we heard in Toronto, in the move of God's Spirit, very significant move of God's Spirit that began in 1994 in Toronto. And John Arnott, the pastor there at that church, would just pray that, more, Lord.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's always more.
Yeah.
More, Lord. It's actually a number plate in his car. Remember when you went to Toronto? So his car parked outside, the number plate was more, Lord. I'm thinking, imagine he went through a red light or something, the police calling another, you know, what's the registration? More, Lord. And guy on the end of the phone goes, oh, more, oh. And more of the Holy Spirit. So even if we're full, there's more. The answer, you see, really the answer we need, we sometimes look for all sorts of things, but really the simple answer we need is just to have a church, us, absolutely aflame with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Absolutely just aflame with the Holy Spirit. And that fire to increase and increase and increase. I think it was John Wesley that asked, how do you get crowds to come and hear you? And he said, just ask God to set me on fire and people come and watch me burn. And a church aflame with the Spirit, knowing who they are in Christ, knowing what they carry and have access to, and knowing what they can do. That you can heal the sick. You can drive out demons.
Amen.
You can speak to wind and waves and they'll be still. You can speak to mountains. They'll be cast into the sea. We just got to really take him seriously and believe it. Who we are, what we carry, what we've access to, and what we can do. Are we okay so far? Yeah.
Just last week, God had me look up the word fear in the original language. And Hebrews is a daft language.
Mm.
Because it does mean fear, but when you come to the end of all the things it means veneration.
Means what?
Veneration.
Veneration.
Respect. Deep respect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was trying to think about it, and yeah, okay, Jacob called God the fear of his father.
Mm.
But he meant awe.
Mm-hmm.
And awe is veneration.
Yeah.
It's the power of God, the might of God, and in fact the love of God.
Mm.
It's scary.
It is. But the true fear of God in your life means you need not fear anything else.
That's right.
If you have the true fear of God, then we need not fear anything else.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, let's just have a quick think about miracles and healing. The why and the how. So I'm going to give you four reasons why. Why should we pursue a well that flows out into a river of healing and the miraculous? Because, you know, there are some folk who say, all you're going about is healing and miracles. All you're going about is all that supernatural stuff. And there are those who want to dampen that down. You found that there are some folk who want to dampen your enthusiasm. We have some people in Scotland who are specialists at damping enthusiasm. We have a little bit of that in our makeup. And we need to cast it into the pit of hell where it belongs. And, you know, there are even those in our more charismatic Pentecostal type churches who will still down us a bit on the whole emphasis on healing and the miraculous. So why should we pursue such a thing? Well, here's just four reasons. Number one, healing and miracles, they're thoroughly biblical.
Amen.
How can you really read the Bible, unless you're going to dismiss and explain it all away like the crazy liberal people do, how can you read the Bible without seeing the God of the miraculous?
Amen. Yep.
without seeing it from Genesis, Exodus, right through,
yeah.
without seeing the life of Jesus, how can you look at the life of Jesus and not see the significance, importance of healing and miracles?
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't mean that that's all we focus on. Of course, there's many other important things in our walk with God. There are many other important aspects to develop in our discipleship, in our lives. Of course there are. But we mustn't dismiss this one because it seems very, very important to the heart of God. So it's thoroughly biblical. Secondly, so many people need his healing and his miraculous breakthrough
Amen.
In their lives.
Yeah.
And no matter how much we've advanced in certain things and gone backwards in others in our society over the centuries, there's so many sick people. So many sick
yeah.
people.
Yeah.
And there's so many people who need some sort of breakthrough
yeah.
in their life, their situation, their family. And it's really important that we have churches that present that in a thoroughly biblical and good way. Or otherwise, folk run to places where it's not always presented
yeah.
in the best way. So many people need his healing and miraculous breakthrough. The third reason is that healing and miracles are signs and they are wonders
Amen.
To the
yeah.
lost.
Yeah.
And they're signs and wonders to the lost in a society that is, by and large, not listening. Most people in our society are not listening to what the church is saying. They couldn't care less. They've made up their judgment and presumption about what the church would say and everything, so they don't want to listen.
Yeah.
So they need to see something. Philip went down to a town in Samaria, and it says, when they saw the miraculous signs that he did, they paid close attention to what he said. So we desperately need, today probably more than ever, we need to see a manifestation of healing signs and wonders, because it's the only thing that's going to get people's attention.
Amen.
Or a major thing that's going to get their attention. And the fourth reason, and maybe most importantly, is that healing and the miraculous are simply an expression of the nature of God. It's part of who he is. He is the healer. I am the Lord your healer. He is the God of miracles. It's an expression of his nature, of who he is. So I think it's really important that we do pursue these things. And how do we do that? We could look at lots of points here, I guess, but I want to just mention two things that I felt were important. Two things. If we're going to see breakthrough, you see a lot of us have seen first fruits in these areas. We've seen some folk healed. We've seen some folk healed, haven't we, Iris?
Absolutely.
And we've seen some amazing things at times, but we've seen lots of folk where nothing's happened. We've not
yeah.
seen the level of torrent breakthrough that we would long to see. And there's reasons why there's some blockages and so forth, yes, but I think it's really important that we pursue and press in for the much more of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And when the Holy Spirit shows up, people get healed and miraculous things happen. So let's see if we can get a couple of things that are maybe just really important to hang on to and to really put into practice from what God would say in his word to us about this. Number one is this: we need to operate in God's order of ministry gifts. We need
yep.
to operate in God's order of ministry gifts. Now, what do I mean by that? 1 Corinthians 12:28. If you look at this verse, Paul is giving an order of ministry gifts here, which must have some importance,
yeah.
or it wouldn't be there. So, 1 Corinthians 12:28, it says, "And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third, teachers, after that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues." After that, miracles, then gifts of healings. After what? After he has put in place apostles, prophets, and teachers. Now, I grew up as a wee boy getting taken along to church. Loved every minute of it. It was so exciting. Just couldn't wait for Sunday. Not. But also, I went to church for years, and you know, an apostle? I knew kind of what apostle, like Apostle Paul, Apostle Peter, but an apostle? What on earth was an apostle today? What on earth was a prophet, apart from something most businesses wanted to make? You know, what were these things? So we've basically, for decades and decades and decades, even centuries, relegated or removed these two primary gifts ministry gifts out of the church. Now, you know that. But it's really important that we re-establish them. If we're going to see miracles and healings, I think Paul is saying something here about you need to get something of divine order into place.
Amen.
We need to recognize, receive, and move in what the apostolic ministry brings into the church. We need to recognize and receive what the prophetic ministry brings into
Amen.
The church.
Yeah.
And also, he mentions teachers. Now, we're used to teachers, but it's really important we have the right sort of teachers.
Yeah.
So what do these ministries mean? The apostle, as far as I can see, there's lots of things about apostles, but these would be key things. Apostles are those who pioneer new pathways. Who pioneer new pathways for the gospel of the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Either in new places or in existing places. But they pioneer something new that brings new ground, that breaks things open.
Yeah.
I also believe the importance of the apostle is that the apostle brings together the other giftings. So if you only have a prophet, you know, they're always going on, aren't they, these prophets? Prophesying this, that, and the next thing. You get an evangelist, you know, he just says, ah, church, you know, we all need to get out there and just get everybody saved, you know. And so you get the pastor, oh, no, wait a minute, because we're going to care for them afterwards. You know, everybody's got their little bit. The apostle's the one who, I believe, brings together what the other ministry gifts bring and brings them into meaning and into function and into fullness. And what I've observed over the years is that, you know, a lot of churches move on in one area and then fall down and move on. And what so often happens is that somebody's been leading that church who's in a very prophetic type ministry maybe. And then they move on and somebody else comes in who's much more of a pastor. And so it shifts. And then somebody comes in who's more of an evangelist. When I went to church in Castlemilk, the guy I took over from, he'd been a real evangelist. So he saw lots of folk get saved. But nobody had a clue anything about, you know, what it really meant to be a Christian. You know, they were very, very shallow. And, you know, my ministry was much more of that of teaching. And so we began to build up. But the importance is that we bring all these ministry gifts together. So we don't grow in fits and starts here and there, but we bring it all together. And so we need the apostle who brings together what the prophet offers, what the teacher offers, the pastor, the evangelist. The prophet brings the now word of God, brings God's heart, God's intention, God's call. Very important, the prophet breaks people into new dimensions and activates something within them. And we've seen that with loads and loads of people in Scotland, particularly in other nations too. As we've prayed with them and prophesied over them, we've seen them activated into new dimensions of life and ministry in the Lord.
Amen.
And it's wonderful to, you know, meet people well on and just see the difference that's now happened in their life. The teacher. It's really important the teacher brings revelation and understanding and application. The teacher moves in the spirit of wisdom and revelation, not the spirit of waffling and information. I mean, we've had some teaching that's just been as boring as could be. You know, I'm not great at listening to other folks preaching and so on. You have to be good if you're going to get me to listen to you. But, you know, we can waffle. And we can give information, so we're bagged up by all this information. We need revelation that changes our lives. We need understanding so we know what to do with the revelation. An application, a place where we can work it out. So we need to operate in God's order of ministry. We need these gifts operating in order to see the miraculous and healing really break through. So we don't just see an odd healing here or there, but we start to see us really flowing in this. And the second thing, and I'm going to finish with this, is we need to be fully convinced, fully persuaded. So it's Romans 4, verse 20, talking to Abram. You're 100 years old and you're going to have a wane. Your missus is 90 and she's well barren, but it's going to happen. And it says this, verse 20, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised he was able to perform. And it's really important to come into a place of being fully convinced that God wants to break open wells and rivers of healing and the miraculous, wells of salvation, wells of signs and wonders. It's important that we're fully convinced. You see, if you're not fully convinced, you'll never get there. Because you know the enemy's going to come in against it. You know there's people who are going to come in against it. You know. Because at the end of the day, you know, if nobody's speaking against you, you're not really doing anything for the Lord. If you're really making a difference, someone's speaking against you somewhere. But let them. it's so important that we get to a place of being fully convinced that any unbelief, any doubt in our hearts that's gotten us to waver, that we really get rid of that. It says he was strengthened in faith. How do we get strengthened in faith? By praying in the Holy Spirit. That's what Jude 24 says, praying in the Holy Spirit. So we need to get ourselves strengthened in faith and be fully convinced. See, we're really going after this. There's going to be a cost to it. Not everybody's going to like it. We're going to get things thrown at us. There's going to be a challenge and a contest for it. And if you're not fully convinced, you will back down. If you're not fully convinced, you will stop short. So it's really important we say together. It's because, people, we are fully convinced that it is God's will to release miracles and healing in this place, into this community, into this city. It has to be. But we need to be fully convinced, fully persuaded. So we're ready for the cost, ready to press through, ready to step out, ready to take the risks. The sound of a rushing wind is just coming into this room now. Helen, do you want to say something? Or does anybody want to come back on anything?
So Abraham was fully convinced, fully persuaded. So today, are you fully convinced and fully persuaded that God wants to open up his rivers in this place? Because if there's doubt in your heart and you don't fully believe, you need to get rid of it now. Because this morning when I walked in, I saw right behind these walls this mighty gushing rivers just coming right up and bubbling over. But you see, in the physical and in the natural, it's hiding behind there. And God wants you right now to call it in. See, I can give you the picture of the gushing river, and I can see it in the spirit, but you have to see it in the spirit, and you have to see it in your heart, and you have to be fully persuaded and fully convinced of what you believe God's saying for this place, for you and for these people and for this area. Because I can only come in and tell you what I sense God's saying for you, but you have to take hold of it and catch it in your heart. So what's the promises of God that he's put in your heart? I have to say that in the last year, apart from our daughter getting married in May and now expecting our first grandchild, which is a total blessing, this last year has been like hell on earth. It has been a hard struggle. It has tired me out physically, mentally, emotionally. And yet, I am fully persuaded in God's promises and to believe in what he said he will accomplish. And a couple of weeks ago, I was in bed, sound asleep, and I felt somebody knelt down at my bed and held my hand and said, Helen, you need to hope again. It's like the Holy Spirit has been sucked right out of your life. You need to hope again. And he held my hand and said, it's time to hope and it's time to believe again in the promises. You need to hope, and it's called Jesus. And he stood up and he said, and it's me. And Jesus left the room. Now, if God can come, Jesus, in that form, he can come and speak to me in the year that we have had and said, hope again. He's saying to you, hope again. Dream again. It's a new season. It's a new time. It's a new year. It's a new start. Start hoping and dreaming and believing what God has promised he will accomplish. He does not shortfall anything. His word does not return void. It does not return empty. And I saw this, like when we were worshipping, I saw like grass and little shrubs. And the grass wasn't that high. But some of you were looking at it and thinking, it's too deep to get through. And it's too deep to kick. But Lord says, I gave you authority to trample even on scorpions. So what's a bit of grass? What's a bit of a shrub? Just kick it and stamp on it. You have authority to stamp on everything that is disappointing and discouraging and dissuading you from the promises of God. And it's time for the army of God right here to kick back what the enemy has took back from you. And when we sang that song, The Lion of Judah, you've got a shield in your hand and a sword by your side. Get your armour on and start fighting. There's a new rise coming in this place. There's a new strength. There's a new strength of faith to arise in this place. You've all got faith, but it's like it's bottled up. It's bottled up and there's a wee cap on it. And it's because of the disappointments. It's the discouragements. Things have changed a lot in this place. Things have changed a lot in Steve and I's life in the last year that it's incredible. Anything you think that you had your security on, it goes. And we have to be on the solid rock of Jesus. And we have to stand. But you know, change brings good. But it brings panic. And it brings fear. And we have to put our stronghold and our strength into the solid rock of Jesus. And start believing. Start believing he wants to do you. And I have a sense that some of you here have been watching. And it's like you've been watching almost like as if it's like the globe spinning. There's been something spinning in your life and it's watching. It's like people have gone, people have changed, people have gone, people have changed, things have changed, ministries have changed, everything's changed. And it's like here, it's like, and it's all been all over the place because of what you've been looking at in the flesh. And you've not been looking at the bigger picture of what the heart of the Father has been saying. The heart of the Father is pumping in this place. And it's like all those things that I've been spinning about, it's because I've been changing them, because my dimensions are exactly right. You see, it's like you get different plates and different dishes, and at the moment we're packing, so I've been moving dishes about. But it's like you get the different sizes of plates, different sizes of cups, and that's been what's happening here right now. Your dimensions have all been changing and shifting. But the Lord says, I've got the dimensions exactly right. I have it rooted exactly right. My size, my capacity, my measurements, everything for building my temple here is exactly right. So he says today, children, stop worrying. Do not be anxious about anything. Lay all those dimensions before me, because I'm the one who's building my church. I'm the one who's building my temple. I'm the one who's flowing the river in here, and where my river flows, it cannot be stopped, and everything comes to life. Some of you have almost felt as if things have got shattered around you, but it's just because of the change. And change brings a shattering, and change brings a little bit of a wobbling of what's going to happen. But today he says, just hope, be steadfast and be secure in me. And arise, beautiful ones, because it is a new time. So he also said to me after that, you have to hope again. You need to start commanding. You need to start opening your mouth and commanding. Not just saying, Father, will you? Please. Can you do it? Can you sort it out? Be so easy to just lie down and say, Daddy, sort it out. Stephen's father just died 3 months ago now. And he was like my father too. And we nursed him when he came home from the hospice. And he died at home, and it was his wish. But it's like something about that, of the father going, kind of makes you start thinking about the Heavenly Father. And Heavenly Father is the one that we all put our trust in. At least that's what we should do. But we have natural fathers where we go to where we say, can you just sort it out? But today the Father's like, just lie down and rest. I have it all sorted. But you start commanding and start speaking to things to come. In Romans 4 verse 17 it says, call that which is not as it is. And start to command things. Like Stephen says, he just tells money to come to him. Command what you need. Command what you need in this place. Command what you need for your family. Command what you need for yourself. Start speaking. Shona was singing a song. No, in fact, it was Jean was singing in the tongue and then saying, call the trumpet. I felt very much the Lord wants to put a trumpet in your mouth and declare the word of the Lord. It's a time for declaration. It's calling that which is not as it is. What you need, start declaring it. Start commanding things to come. You want a miracles in here and the miraculous, start calling forth. Start declaring the miracles that you've already seen. Start testifying about it. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You start testifying about one miracle, you'll get another miracle. If you sit quiet, nobody's going to hear anything. There's a whole world out there needs people like you and I to sound the trumpet and declare the kingdom. But God's looking for a peculiar people right now. He's not looking for us who are going to sit and say the nice little Christian jargon. That's not going to get to them. It's the fire of the Spirit and the sound of the voice that goes with revelation and prophesies into life and says, this is it. This is what's going on with your life right now, because God knows about it, because God loves you and God cares about everything. Do you want to meet the Father? So the woman in the well, he knew everything about me. How does he know everything? If he knows everything about you, he knows everything about everybody else round about you, every situation, and he wants to use you. I just feel like the Father's heart is beating in this place for you guys to get your voice again. It's like you've been silenced, and he says, get your voice again. And not one is more special than another. Not one has more of anointing than the other. If you need the gift of prophecy, ask him for it. You need the gift of healing right now, ask him for it. For whatever situation, because it's the Holy Spirit. And we all have the Holy Spirit. Every single one of us have the Holy Spirit in us. And we can activate the Holy Spirit any time. It's time to arise, guys. We can't just sit back and do church as church. It doesn't work. It's not working. And the Father says, wake up and start using the Spirit. Start using the love. Start using the power. Start using the authority and command things to shift. So if White Inch needs miracles right now, then we command miracles, we command healing, we command signs and wonders, because it's all there in the Bible and it's all for right now.